ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fans of all ages, it's your favorite time of the week. You might need to brace yourself and grab a cold beverage. Mark and Scott are ready to drop some college football betting knowledge on your ass. The boys are back and ready to help you find some angles to beat your book, impress your friends, and get you ready to enjoy the greatest sport on the planet. So sit back and enjoy, because we're damn happy to have you. Welcome to the Crazy Sheet.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of week. We're a little bit late, but week zero's here. Scotty, how the hell are you, brother? I'm excited.
Man, I'm good. We've had a lot going on. We haven't been able to get together the last couple of weeks and, you know, had some funerals to attend, had all kinds of stuff we've had to do. So it's been kind of a hot mess. We apologize for not being out there. But, man, we're ready to roll. Gambling season, baby. The rest is talking season. Now it's gambling season.
I was telling somebody the other day, they were like, what do you think about realignment? And I was like, well, I don't really care, because the season's going to start in about 3 days, and no one's going to talk about realignment again until probably February. And I said, so you don't have to worry about how the 12-team playoff's going to look, anything else like that. Nobody's going to talk about that once we start getting teams playing. And we kick off Saturday morning, or Saturday afternoon, actually, but with Navy and Notre Dame in Dublin, Ireland, and we roll all the way through to the late game. And let's not think that the Pac-12 can't fuck things up any worse. USC, the marquee team in the conference, opens up on television week zero. Why not get some eyeballs on that game? Oh, by the way, it's on the Pac-12 network, and no one still knows how to watch that channel.
I can't watch that channel. And I think I have purchased Sports Channel. I think I can get it through Roku. I think that's the only way. I mean, I have so many different streaming options. Man, I still have cable to get stuff. I mean, it is insane how hard it is to get the Pac-12 network. But I think Roku is going to let me actually be able to watch this game. I saw a great stat this week, Mark, that you and I have not tested. So for everybody listening, Mark and I have not told him the stat yet. Okay. So from 2005 to 2022, this is in millions, all right? Booster donated money, all right? Not money coming from, you know, trust funds, all the donations to the academic institution, which they funnel some of that interest to academics, which is one reason Stanford makes so much money. Listen to this, it's amazing. There are two schools listed in the top six, and they are going to stun you. And they are all driven mostly by one guy. Oregon is number one. Okay. $969 million. How much of that is Phil Knight? I mean, that is gigantic. If you'd have told me that, and here's the kicker. They're $120 million above second place. $849 million to Texas A&M. $766 million to Texas. $763 million to Florida. $716 million to Georgia. And then Oklahoma State is next. Can you believe that? I mean, that is an unbelievable number. Oklahoma State's at 670, then it's LSU 618, Oklahoma 597, Auburn 580, Florida State 540, Ohio State 536. Who'd have thunk that? Alabama 528, Virginia 516, Tennessee 500. Michigan 493, then you drop down. This is an interesting stat. 21 to 30, these are interesting numbers. Michigan State 439, Washington 402, Texas Tech 396,
there you go.
Wisconsin 389, Penn State 386, Illinois 373, West Virginia 354, Indiana 351, Arizona 346, North Carolina 344, and in 31 through 40, Mizzou's at 344, Arkansas at 324. I'd have never guessed Mizzou's getting more donations from boosters than Arkansas. K-State, 324, Virginia Tech, 319, Ole Miss, 310, Kentucky 302, Purdue 289, Cal 283, Mississippi State 273. Oh. What does that tell you? Look at how many rich boosters does Cal have? And they are $10 million ahead of where Mississippi State is. That's embarrassing. You want to know why they're getting left out? That's why they're getting left out. They don't care. I mean, Mississippi State doesn't have a lot of rich alumni, just FYI. So anyway, I thought it was fascinating. UCLA is way down, 41 to 50, $233 million. Nebraska, 236 at 43. That's unbelievable. I mean, those numbers are just, but get this. This, to me, is, I mentioned State and Ole Miss, very close together. You start looking at spreads, Alabama, Auburn, they're close. Not in Oregon. $201 million for Oregon State. That is over $700 million. In 20 years, that's been donated difference. That is a yo-stat. I mean, you think that was the a fascinating list. I'll repost it on Twitter for everybody that follows us, but that is a really, really cool statistic, I feel like.
That is pretty crazy. But, I mean, it's an arms race at this point, and I think the only reason teams like Mississippi State can compete is because where they're located.
That's right.
I mean, otherwise, you know, you and I have had this conversation. Why the fuck we talk about Mississippi State on this podcast every week is beyond me, but it doesn't matter. But there's no way Mississippi State could compete if they were in Missouri or Kansas. It couldn't happen. But because I mean, look at the shift in the Sun Belt as far as being by far the best group of five conference at this point. And it's because, you know, you've got the coaching's better. It used to, 10, 15 years ago when we started, it was the MAC. By far, the MAC was the best. And now you roll into the – and the Sun Belt was a joke. Well, now you look at the Sun Belt, and they've got superior athletes. There's good coaching in the MAC in the Sun Belt. And, you know, it's kind of becoming – I wouldn't say it's a feeder system to guys wanting to move up, but – it's a much better quality of product that they're putting on the field. I like what they did about jumping in and starting taking weekday games because they get where they stand and the priority measures there. So I'm all for it. I get the money comes in. You got to make it however you can. But it's crazy that some of those schools have had that much donation and that they still really are irrelevant on a national scale.
It's wild to me when you start looking at those numbers where some teams are and where they rank. And, you know, you start looking at GDPs per state and boosters and number of living boosters and things like that. Man, you realize there's just a few people running the boat. And I've known this for years, and I know know how many people state's got in the Bulldog Club, things like that. And you realize what the small percentage is giving athletically to the university, but boy, they give big money when they do. But bottom line is the people that love it, love it.
Yeah.
And the people that don't, just kind of nah. And in California and places like that, there's a lot more people that just don't care. And if you want to know why the Pac-12 is falling apart, you got that number. You got that number right there. But to me, that illustrates why it's falling apart and doing what it's doing. And that Cal is the type of football program it is, drawing in that kind of money and in that kind of location with that kind of academic reputation, tells you a lot, if you ask me. So anyway, that is, and you can't have disparities in state of over $700 million in donations and expect those teams to compete.
No, I'd agree. All right, Scotty, we've talked a lot about these things. We've done our Power 5 conference previews. We finally have games to talk about this Saturday. You ready?
I'm ready, baby. I actually like this early board a little bit. It's obviously a small board, but I think there's some betting value in here.
I won't disagree with you, and I'm hoping we're going to pull some nuggets out. Let's get started. Dublin, Ireland, 1:30. Navy, Notre Dame, that's game 299, 300 on your rotation schedule. This is an interesting game. Opened up around 21, 21 and a half. It got bet down. It's now settled around 20 and a half is where you can get that. Obviously, a lot of folks are taking that money because they think, you know, you're getting a ton of points with Navy. They're going to run. And here's where I like this game. I'm going over the total here. Total in this one, let me pull it up for you real quick. I think it's, what, 60? Is that right? 49 and a half. Excuse me, 49
yeah,
and a half.
49, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
This game went over 49 and a half last year in the first half. And that was with Drew Pine playing quarterback for Notre Dame. I think this Notre Dame team is going to be really explosive. I like what Marcus Freeman's done. I think he got better as a coach last year as the season went on. So I'm excited to see what they got. And also, I think a lot of people are shading Notre Dame this season. The quarterback play for me, they moved Tyree from the running back position out to the slot, which I think is going to make him even more explosive in there. Audric Esteen's coming back from the running back position. And I think they're going to – and Navy does not have the athletes to stick with this team, not the explosion they've got. But look at this game last year. I think it was like 45-42, and it came down to the end because I think Navy will get their own. I also think Notre Dame may not know what Navy's going to put on the field. You got to remember, they've changed coaches and mixing things up. They've also changed rules in a sense that the clock will not stop when you get a new first down. But they've also changed blocking rules. And I think that's going to be a big difference that these wishbone teams, mainly the service conferences, are going to have to deal with, because they've always been able to exploit from that standpoint, and they changed that this year. So I like Notre Dame to have a lot of points in this game. I won't be surprised if they don't hang up a 42 number themselves. And then just because Navy's offense is going to be so difficult to defend against, and I don't know how much time Notre Dame's actually going to put in to try to shut down, you know, the triple option in this one, and again, what kind of tape they're going to have on it. So I like the over at 49.5 in that spot.
Yeah, I like the over. I mean, I get why this number is low. I will be honest. I think this number's going over because I think this Notre Dame offense is going to be better than people expect. I mean, they're going to have significantly improved quarterback play. I expect the Notre Dame defense to be good. I think people are expecting the Notre Dame the Navy defense to be better as well. I'm fascinated to watch Tobias Merriweather. He was a guy last year who just didn't perform. He's a huge kid. It seems like he's had a really good camp. Fascinated to watch what he does. He's a big kid. I mean, 6'4", over 200 pounds, big kid. Going to be interested to see what he does this year. I think the bottom line is, for me, I think year two, Freeman's figuring things out. It is the exact same thing we have been saying about Zach Arnett all offseason. They're not going to win as many games as that team's capable of doing, because first-year head coaches learn on the job. I mean, it is what it is. This isn't year two. Marcus Freeman is a smart, talented guy. I think he's going to do a tremendous job at Notre Dame. Recruiting has already been improved since he's been there. I think that's going to continue. I like this football team. I think Hartman is a difference maker. I think they're able to score points. And I think this ball game goes over the 49.5. Although week one, a lot of times the scores are lower than people think. So I like this number. I just think Notre Dame's probably going to cover this number too, but I like the over more. I think they distance themselves pretty quickly.
Ooh, I think we're on the same page in this one. So that's my first play that I've got. Scotty, looking at your first play that you've got there, I'm guessing I know where we're going to go. We're going to end up with this MAC Mountain West matchup. Ohio against San Diego State. It's game 307-308. If you've been listening to us all summer, we've been talking about this game. Over-unders at 48.5. San Diego State laying 2.5 points. The news from Ohio came out this week that Rourke, the Canadian missile, is going to play for Ohio. There was a lot of question whether or not he was going to come back from last year's injury. You saw the line move. This line was as high as 5.5 earlier this summer. Floated around 3.5, 4 most of the summer that you could have gotten it. Now you're looking at San Diego State minus 2.5. Over-under's 48.5. Scotty, how are we going to go? Mac, game of the week.
Love me some Ohio in this. I will tell you, I am on the money line. Was when it was 4.5. It lowered with the number to Rourke down to 2.5. It's bounced back to 3. I think Ohio is going to win this game straight up. Unless you just love it, I would encourage you to take the 3 points. San Diego State is opening a new stadium. There's some buzz around that. I like this Ohio football team. The bottom line is, in looking at statistics for this, the Mountain West and the MAC are the exact same league. Bowl games, they're 500. MAC is one game under 500, and these are straight up numbers. One game under 500 playing these teams. These are the exact same football teams. That's the bottom line. Ohio played San Diego State in the Frisco Bowl. I attended a couple of years ago and just absolutely got boat raced. Ohio is certainly capable of winning this game from a talent standpoint. I think that is truly the only reason San Diego State is favored, is they look like a better team on paper. And I think the number would be being bet crazy if Ohio had come out the other way. Make no mistake, the big money is on Ohio. The volume bets are on San Diego State, looking at the betting numbers. I like Ohio to win this ball game. I think they may win this game comfortably.
Yeah, Ohio's getting 73% of the action, the handle on this one. So that's 73% of the money, but only 37% of the bets. That's a huge discrepancy, especially from early on this season. I like Ohio a lot. I think Ohio's got a great chance to win the MAC. I took them to win the MAC. I took them to win it at like 3.5 to 1. I took them to win the MAC East at +120. So I'm pretty confident in this team. Scotty and I have been lucky enough that we've been around them. We've got some folks that actually are up there that work for Ohio, so we get a little bit of information from them. And they're excited about this roster. So I am too, frankly. And San Diego State, I'm not a Brady Hoke guy. And I can't quite get there with it. And so I'm getting 3 points, 2.5, 3 points. I'm going to take that. I will sprinkle on the money line at +120 and get me a little of that as well. Scotty, that is what we got with the MAC game of the week. Next one I want to go to, let's go to that Pac-12 game we're talking about. USC at home against San Jose State. This one will be in the Coliseum. Line's sitting about 30.5 now is what you're looking at. Obviously, USC's favorite. Over-under here is at 67. USC last year came out week one, and nobody was sure what you were going to get with Lincoln Riley, with Caleb, you know, Wims coming in there, all the transfers that came in. You know what's funny about this? I thought about this the other day. Deion caught, and I know the numbers aren't quite the same. Deion has caught so much flack for, like, totally turning that roster over and bringing everybody in. And he was very vocal about the whole thing. Lincoln Riley last year when he showed up at USC.
Exact same thing.
He didn't, like, kick people off the team or anything. But, I mean, he completely rebooted that USC roster. And you know, I mean, recruiting Jordan Addison out of Pitt, all kinds of things. And he caught no flack for it. And so it's interesting to me. But where I like this one again, I'm going over the total at 67. USC came out week one last year and absolutely blew the doors off of it, hung 60-some-odd points up by themselves. I think you're going to see that same level of explosion. And this offense doesn't really – I know it's becoming cliche, all gas, no brakes, but that's all Lincoln Riley knows. And I'm still not sure that the defense at USC, their issues have been fixed. And this San Jose State team, I think, is going to be an over team all season long in the Mountain West. Cordero, the quarterback that transferred in from Hawaii, yeah, is a big upgrade. But defensively, I don't think they've got the horses. I think we're going to find value in San Jose State overs a lot this whole season. And both of these teams are going to air it out. And so you're going to see big play, big chunk plays from USC. And I think San Jose State will probably sneak one in and get one in the back door. I'm going over 67. That's getting 76% of the bets right now. But the money. But I like the over in this one. I think it's going to be pretty explosive, but very one-sided. I think you could easily see this game being a 56-14, and we go over the number.
I would love to know how much USC spent in NIL money last year. On the defensive line, they have transfers from Texas A&M, Georgia, and Arizona, all coming in this year, likely going to play. They also have a linebacker coming in. I mean, it is – they have – this from Oklahoma State, they have littered this roster with other Power 5 transfers.
Yeah.
And I don't mean schools that are – I mean, let's face it, A&M and Georgia have got talent. I mean, they're bringing in talented guys. The kid transferring from A&M coming out of high school is the number 8 player at his position. I mean, they are literally bringing in talent, but I agree with you. The difference for me on this SC defense this year, they created a gazillion turnovers.
Oh, man.
And it has been my experience in gambling that doesn't happen 2 years in a row. It's like injuries. When you see a team that only loses 10% of their starts to injury, 15% of their start, they're going to lose 50% of their starts the next year. It's just the way the ball bounces. I mean, it is just – you never see a team, oh, nobody got hurt 2 years in a row. It never works that way. And I think you're going to see the exact same thing in the turnover. I think, weren't they like plus 30? Something bananas last year where they were where they were up and turnovers. And look, you look at that UCLA game, that was a difference in the ball game. They created two huge turnovers, one of them at the end of the game to win the ball game. That was the difference in the UCLA game, was their two turnovers. They created one in the first half, which kept them up seven basically the whole game. And then UCLA's driving to win the ball game, boom, they create another turnover. I just don't see that happening again. So, again, I think that adds to exactly what we're saying, a lot of point. I just think they're going to crush these guys overall. I think Riley's going to come off five extra repeat. I mean, we've only had one. Isn't Archie Griffin the only one that's ever repeated in the Heisman?
That is correct.
And so I think he obviously has a legitimate shot to do that. I think to do that, they're going to have to make the playoff, though. I don't care what his stats make. They got to win football games to do that. They missed the playoff, and I don't think he wins it. They'll find somebody else to give it to, basically, a second year. Because that's essentially what happened to Tim Tebow. They kept finding somebody else to give it to, even though statistically he was a better player and probably should have won multiple Heismans. So I think it's and candidly, you could say a lot of the same thing about Peyton Manning. He might have should have won it as a junior, and it was like, he'll win it as a senior, and then boom, Woodson pops up. So anyway, I think it's going to be tough for him to win two in a row, but I think this offense is going to click. I think you're going to see a lot. What happened last year, they likely score. They may get close to this number on their own and score 66.
Yeah, I would not be surprised a bit. I think they're going to go, like I said, all gas, no brakes. I won't be surprised. This game to me, and I think with USC this season, it's going to be a lot like the Alabama team with Tua and even the Mac Jones team, where I think they're going to come out hot and fast in every single game. And they've got – this is going to be one of the most explosive offenses in the country. I anticipate, and the way I've got this team graded out, is they're going to average about 46 points a game this season. And so, and I think they're going to have to in a lot of ways. So I'm with you. I'm on the over. I like this where I'm going. Scotty, we've got a couple more games on the board. Those are the three plays that I've got in pocket. The next one I want to look at here is one that I know people are craving to get down on. How about you get you some UTEP Jacksonville State? Jacksonville State coming up from the FCS level, Division 1 AA, I don't even know what they call it anymore. And UTEP going on the road to Jacksonville State. I would bet you bucks there are a lot of people listening to this that don't know where Jacksonville State is located, and they're probably thinking this game's going to be played in North Florida. It's not. It's in the state of Alabama. Jacksonville State, Scotty, who's their coach?
Rich Rod, baby, and I bet there aren't five people listening to us that know that Rich Rod's coaching at Jacksonville State and ushering them into Division One this year. So it should be,
whatever.
Are we still the FBS? I mean, don't we have a playoff? Wouldn't we be a championship subdivision too? Let's go back to Division One, baby. We're going old school on the crazy sheet. So I think it's hilarious that Rich Rod's there. Look, that roster got tons of guys back, but traditionally teams. I will probably end up playing this game, even though I know I shouldn't. But I do think UTEP's going to be a decent football team. But, man, Jacksonville State is at home, moving up, them coming in, UTEP coming in, going on the road. They're a one-point favorite. I actually like them in this ball game because traditionally when teams make the step up, they get pounded. While this is a pretty good FCS, this is not the James Madisons coming up who playing for three straight natties. You know, it's not that kind of jump. So I think this is going to be a little bit more of a challenge. But UTEP obviously is not a huge Power 5 football team, but I do think they're going to be a better team and has a chance to get back to a bowl game.
Yeah, it's UTEP was a team that's been down for a long time, and Dimmel's done a pretty good job out there. And so
got a bowl win, yeah. What, 2 years ago? Yeah. Won five games last year?
Yes.
Was right on the verge of getting back again.
So are you rolling with the pickaxes and the miners? And this team's not bad. Remember, what's the wide receiver's name that Tylan Wallace, I can't remember, but he transferred to A&M.
He came back.
Yeah. And so this team's got some talent. I like what you're going to see. I don't have anything in this game. I might get involved in game.
But I don't have it yet, but I got a feeling come Saturday I'll be itching. So, not an official play, but yes, I will be I will probably get involved in the UTEP game.
UMass, New Mexico State. What do you think all these Yankees are going to do when they roll into New Mexico? How hot's it going to be at this game, by the way?
It's got to be 105, doesn't it?
I'll look at a minute and see. But UMass, New Mexico State, I've got nothing here in this one. These are going to be two of the worst teams in the country. So I got no play here. You got anything on this?
I got no play, although they did cover this number, and meaning New Mexico State, on the road last year. Jerry Kill, the football coach at former Minnesota coach, is at New Mexico State. So I feel like if anybody's got any interest and it's just a full degenerate, go ahead and take you to New Mexico State, because I think they'll cover this number.
I kind of do too. Two games left. Vandy, Hawaii. Vandy's going to be at home. Vandy's not playing at home, right? They're playing in like a high school stadium, aren't they?
Well, no. No, it is at home. I think they are playing in that stadium, even though they're remodeling it. It's two sides of the stadium, bleachers only. It's kind of a hot mess. Like, there's some stuff going around the SEC about how embarrassing that Vandy is, and, you know, that they're letting them, you know, that they've done such a poor job and executing the expansion and when they started it and stuff like that, that they're not farther along. So, because, you know, State went through a full rebuild in an end zone. It certainly didn't look like that. Vandy Stadium looks awful. I mean, it does look bad. I mean, let's get some pylons up. Let's get a little concrete, you know, so that it at least looks like you're making progress. I mean, it just looks like, honestly, a Texas high school stadium. A bunch of metal bleachers on each side.
Here's what we got here. We got a Vandy team laying 17.5. Their quarterback that was really dynamic last year now plays for Mississippi State. anyway, Hawaii comes in here getting 17.5. Over-under numbers at 56. Vandy's a little banged up on the D-line as well. I like the Vandy coaching staff. I like what Clark Lee's done out there. I like what Timmy Chang did. This Hawaii team got better last year. They started the season and they were awful. But they did get better. They lose Cordero. Is it San Jose State? We already mentioned that. So that'll be new. But I think Hawaii may come with a little bit of fight here, man. Just like you got what's going on in Maui. Those guys got to be coming proud. I won't be surprised if they don't have a little bit more fight than people are anticipating. 17.5 is a lot for a Vandy team to cover. I'm going to pass on this one. But I am on my quest to 4, so I need Vandy to win this game, which I do think they will. Interested to watch from these two teams because I love me some Hawaii. But I'm going to pass on this line at 17.5, over under 56. I got no feel on it either way.
I think Vandy's going to cover. This is a long way to travel. I have mixed feelings on the, you know, the win one, you know, win one for the Gipper kind of feel with the fires and all of those things. At the end of the day, man, it is hot in the Southeast. I mean, hot. And I don't know how well they're going to weather this heat. I'm about to check that. We were talking about Las Cruces. It's supposed to be 96 in Las Cruces on Saturday. And on Nashville, like right now, they're under a heat advisory. Saturday, they're supposed to be at 96, but there is a chance of rain in Saturday in Nashville. So could be a little bit different game, but it is going to be hot, humid for those guys. I think it wears them down. I think Vandy needs to win this game and needs to win it big like they did last year. Lee had a lot of, had a lot of momentum at the end of the season. He needs to keep that excitement level. I'm hoping that Vandy wins it, but I will play Vandy.
Last game on the docket, Scotty, FIU La Tech Conference USA matchup in this one. Over-under here is 58.5. Line, La Tech minus 11.5. I am completely confused by this. La Tech coming in, Sonny Cumbie, new coach in that spot that's there. I like him a lot. I think this team – I actually think La Tech is going to be probably better. I think their defense is hot garbage. FIU's got McIntyre in there. First time, you know, this will be his first game coaching at FIU. McIntyre, you know, he coached at San Jose State. He coached at Colorado. Frankly, they probably should have not fired him at Colorado. He does a really good job of getting the best out of his talent that he's got there. I think he really does a good job overachieving. But look at these rosters. There's not that big of a difference between these two teams. 11.5 points is a lot. And FIU won this game last year pretty handily, too.
Yeah, no question. The quarterback for La Tech is the Bachmeyer kid from Boise.
I think that's why they're getting so much love in this one, because you've got him matched up with Cumbie, and they're going to fling the rock. But I think this game could go over the total, but I don't have a play on it yet.
Yeah, I don't have a play. I think that defense may be high garbage for Louisiana Tech, and that's what makes me think this number's too big. You know, I'm interested to see what McIntyre rolls out, because they were bad. They weren't a very good football team, even though they beat these guys last year. So, you know, it was an overtime win, double overtime win for FIU, but still, 11 just seems like a big number this early in the season. But, you know, everybody seems pretty high on Cumbie. I thought they were not very well coached last year, to be candid with you. So I think 11 seems like a big number here. If you're playing this, I think you got to take the points.
I would too. These early games, I like point. I typically, you know me, I'm an under guy, so it's weird that I'm kind of leaning to some overs in these spots. But that's the board, Scotty. Ohio plus the points and the money line. Notre Dame going over the total there. USC going over, maybe sprinkle a little bit on them to cover the 30.5 as well. And then you like UTEP, correct?
I do like UTEP, but I won't call that an official play. I just call that kind of a lean. If you're looking for something to get involved in later in the day, I think that game's 5 o'clock. That'll give you something to get involved in later in the day.
Tell me how excited you are about next Thursday night. We got really good games. NC State.
There's a great lineup. Everybody's talking about how bad the lineup is. That's the best Thursday night intro we've had in forever.
Yeah, we'll totally agree with you. This is probably the best Thursday we've had since the Kenny the Trill Hill South Carolina A&M matchup years ago. You remember that?
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
There are actually some pretty good football games on Thursday night. I mean, I think NC State Connecticut's fascinating. Connecticut coming off a bowl win. They went on the road, Connecticut did last year, and played really well against Utah State. And I think that opened some eyes for those guys early in the season. And now you got NC State traveling to Connecticut.
Which group of five teams at home in week zero, week one, when they're hosting Power Five teams, have done pretty well ATS. It's when they go on the road that they've gotten trucked.
Done pretty well, but I love the transfer quarterback coming in at NC State. You know, mixing back up with his offense coordinator at Virginia. He had huge – Brendan Armstrong's tremendous his junior year at – I guess that would have been sophomore year for him since he's still playing. But the had a tremendous year matched up with that offense coordinator. Then you got Nebraska, Notre Dame. Nebraska, Minnesota. Yeah. I mean, look, you got Row the Boat, who's been up there forever. I think everybody's excited to see what Nebraska's going to do. That line's you're getting an extra hook, and that feels like Nebraska. Can't wait to dig into that game. Florida, Utah. I mean, man, we got all kinds of stuff going on next week. I mean, I think it's fun. Look, then Friday, we get the Miamis going at it.
Absolutely, we do. Early lean next week, and you also keep in mind too, Friday, you got Hawaii playing on a short week against Stanford back Friday night on the island, and so. That's an interesting spot because you've got to travel all the way back and they've got to host Stanford. And I think Stanford is going to be the worst team in the Pac-12. That one could be interesting. Hawaii +7 at home. The one I would tell you to lean on now if you're taking for an early pick, especially if you can find it with under 14.5, is Michigan State. I think the Central Michigan defense is going to be awful. And I think Michigan State is going to bully ball these guys and kind of – they need to get off to a good start after last season, especially with an in-state team that's here. I think this team kind of comes out and puts it into them. But I am completely on the wrong side of this as far as the money's got. Central Michigan's got 72% of the cheese already bet on this one. So I'll have to dig a little bit more in. But, yeah, I'm really excited. I don't think Cam Rising is 100% for Utah. And I won't be surprised if he's suited out, but he doesn't play. And so because when you look at this game, Utah versus Florida, to me, if you're Whitham and you're like, okay, can we get Cam back week three? Well, now it's like, let's go win the conference, right? And does the Florida game even matter at that point? And the answer is no. But I think this is going to be a great game. I think Thursday night, and don't overlook Kent State about to do something literally maybe no one has done since the Marshall team that, you know, that had the plane crash incident. They are starting – I think they have one starter back in their 22 on this team that they're going to be playing for this year. I mean, it could be really bad for Kent State.
No, they could be the worst team in college football. That is not going to be a good football team. Talking about Michigan State, I agree with you. They need to play bully ball on these guys. Let me say it like that. They had last year, they dominated the two MAC teams. They played one by 22 and 52. And playing Western and Akron, I don't think this Central Michigan team's any different than last year's Western Michigan team, really, as a whole. So I think you're looking at more of 20-25 point win. Mel Tucker doesn't cover this number. I'd see. And you're going to owe that dude, what, 7 more years at 9 mil plus? A lot of cheese from Michigan State to come up with. That was a ADs. Everybody knows how I feel about the ADs in college football, but that's a colossal blunder.
Oh, goodness. Folks, that's what we got for this week. We'll be back on schedule next week. We'll be dropping our regular podcast on, I guess we'll drop Wednesday evening next week, and then we'll probably get back to our Thursday shows. As we get into a little bit further into September, October, we'll probably start trying to do 2 shows a week so we can get the early week games, because I think once you get to October, right around October 1st, there's games starting Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so we'll have to figure out some timing on that. Put this out there. Yeah, hit us up on
football starting first week of October.
Yeah,
big guy.
There you go.
It is no longer November. It is 7th. Thank you to the – that is the Fun Belt playing, or is that CUSA playing?
It's both. It's both.
Yeah, playing midweek. So it's going to be fabulous. We now have Maction November and CUSA Fun Belt October. It's going to be great.
Oh, goodness. Folks, hit us up on Twitter. He's at ScottDenson1. I'm at @NitMark. Share us, reviews, give us the feedback. We'd love to hear from you. It's been a rough couple of weeks for us trying to get all these things together, but we are excited. College football's here. Scott, do we have a junior high game this week that you're giving me a handicap of?
I do. I'm going to set the over-under win total for us going into the season. We're setting that at 4.
4? How many games do you play?
Really, it's 8.
Okay, gotcha. So we're pulling for a hard 500 here then, right?
Yeah, the school got cut in half.
Okay,
gotcha. So, you know, lost a few linemen. So expecting a little bit of some struggles up front, but athletically they're pretty good. They got some pretty good athletes.
With all that being said, folks, look forward to being with y'all season long. Let's go make a couple of bucks. Let's get off on the right foot and pull a 3-0 week to get this started. We'll talk to you next week.